The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Yes, it does. Well, good morning, everyone. This is Jefferson State of Mind. I'm Terry Raposa here with my partner, Wynn Carpenter.
Good morning.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm so far so good. How about you?
Well, the fun never stops here, as Mark Kent always says.
Yep, yep.
And Ashley, our producer, how are you, darling?
Girl Scout cookies came in this week. It's a good week.
Sounds good. Well, we're broadcasting live from KCNR downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, 1460 AM, your talk radio. And you can also listen to us at KCNR1460.com. You can listen live. We are podcasted worldwide and archived forever, I think. Are we archived forever?
Well, who knows?
We don't know. For as long as we live.
Oh, don't say that.
I want to do a shout-out to a certain company called Cell Energy Incorporated. They're located at 2521 Hilltop Drive in Reading, California. And Tasha Foley is the store manager. It's a great place. I had a little issue with a battery last week. Pulled in there. They helped me out. Any kind of battery you need, they've got it. And really, really, really quality, nice people. That'll always give you a good and fair deal. I also want to give a shout-out to Dill's Deli and to Mike Dill and Jessica Dill. And they are just absolutely wonderful people that have fought a lot of tyrannical situations from different agencies, have stood up, have kept their business open, and just real patriots. I want to give a shout-out to them. So with that, I would like to introduce our guest, and that is Kevin Cry. How are you, sir?
Good, thank you.
Kevin's running for District 1 in Shasta County. And so, Kevin, tell us who Kevin is.
Oh, man, that's a pretty broad question, depending, I guess, who you'd ask. My wife would tell you it's someone who doesn't take out the trash. But, no, for me, I was born in Orange County, moved to Shasta County in the late 70s. And even while I was in high school, I knew I wanted to work with kids, which is kind of crazy, I think, but I've pretty much dedicated the majority of my adolescent and adult life to working with kids. And so I've been married 22 years, got three beautiful kids, and we have custody of my nephew. He lives with my mom and stepdad. But, I absolutely love this county, love kids, and I'm ready to roll up my sleeves and fight to get it to where I think it needs to be back to.
Now, you've done some coaching.
I've done a little coaching, yeah. I started coaching at Pacheco Junior High in the mid-90s, and then I have coached at Simpson University as well as Oregon Tech in Klamath Falls, and then I've been a head varsity coach. Mostly at the highest level of basketball, but I've been a strength coach for minor league baseball teams.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, anything around sports and kids is really, I think, what my body of work vocationally and just even from a hobby standpoint is.
Yeah, I've always admired coaches, and the fact that really athletics are such a great life learning lesson in leadership, in responsibility, accountability, and especially working together with other people.
Yeah.
That's really a neat thing. Now, you also have your own business.
Yeah. I have three corporations, and they're individual entities, but there is some crossover. So I have Valor Talent Group, which we manage and are agents for between 10 and 13 individuals, from Olympians to reality TV stars to singers or artists, writer, director, producers. And so that's one. The second is Ninja Coalition HQ, which is the ninja gym at the mall, not ninja to be confused with martial arts, but the much like the television show American Ninja Warrior. And we're very, very youth-focused. We do have some adults that come on adult nights and things like that, but the majority of our clientele are kids. And then I have Ninja Coalition, which is my event company, and we do large events. We did them worldwide. We did the Super Bowl of rugby in Hong Kong in 2019.
Wow. Now, did you go there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, 2019. And it was, you know, I'm beyond grateful that we did that for a few reasons. One is because that's how I got my second course and actually had the equipment for the brick-and-mortar gym at the, that we have at the mall. But also, like, I don't think I'll possibly ever go back to Hong Kong. you know, it wasn't long after that the riots started and – now, of course, with the where our world is, I'm not sure.
You know, it wouldn't be safe.
Yeah, it's just, but, you know, but we were at the, it was literally the most expensive real estate in the world, Causeway Bay, right down there, and it was amazing. The event was amazing. We were there 10 days. And, yeah, so, but we do those events, you know, at churches, and we do them for civic groups. The city of Kenosha, Wisconsin, is going to have us do a huge event, I believe, this summer, either in June or August. Okay. To bring the community together. They've got a school district there, Kenosha Unified, which is about 24,000 kids. So we're looking at doing a pretty cool thing there. And yeah, so those are the three companies. And again, all of them, we do a lot with kids in those as well.
Well, I think it's important, especially someone who's running as a candidate, to have a worldview like you do. I mean, your home is Shasta County. You love your county. You're a big part of this community, but you also have been around the world, around the United States. Your business takes you to different places, so you really can see how things work in other areas. What have you really gleaned from in all your travels around the United States? When you kind of look at that and you look at all these different cities you've been to and you come back and you look at home, what's your thought process on that?
Oh, that's such a great question, because that was the epitome of October 17th when we were flying back from Tennessee thinking we were moving.
Wow.
And it just didn't feel right. Like, we went to Texas earlier that week and decided we're not, and even though a lot of my clients actually are in Texas. And it just felt like Redding and Shasta, in the greater area of Shasta County, is just so great. It was just like heartbreaking to think that we'd leave it. But I just felt like broken and helpless. Like there's nothing else I can do. Like, you know, California is just in my, you know, it was just too far gone. What can I do? I've never ever sought to, you know, run for an office. And then, you know, and I'll even say this, not just because I'm with the two of you, but both of you guys are inspiring and realizing, yeah, there is some stuff I can do. And then when I realized there's some stuff I could do, then it was like, hey, I can get some other people involved and we can fix this together. And so from a world view, it's, you know, I love Shasta County, and we got a great place here. And I don't think it would take much to really clean it up. Just got to have people that are willing to do the work, ask the questions, and
to walk through the fire to get it done.
And walk through the fire and understand that, you know, it's you can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs.
That's right.
That doesn't mean I have to just take, you know, the whole carton of eggs and just throw them on the ground, and, you know, but it's like, yeah, there's going to be, you know, and then when you start looking at, like, maybe friendships lost, maybe they were never there.
That's right.
When I ask questions and people say, well, you don't understand, it's like, well, you haven't answered the question yet. Why are you answering? Why are you saying I don't understand without even answering what I'm asking you? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just been, you know, I don't think I'm naive, but I tend to believe the best in people. Mm-hmm. You know, I tend to, you know, as a coach, you know, mm-hmm. I don't care what team you played on before. I don't care what your work ethic was. If you're there trying to make a team, I'm going to try and base my decision on what I see then. And then, of course, you do have to look at some past stuff depending on the level you're looking at, mm-hmm. I mean, especially if it's pro ball. You know, there is some residual stuff there, but, I'm sorry. I'm rambling a little
bit. No, you're not.
But I love the, you know, I love that, you know, here in Redding, because I could move and I would make a lot more money if I moved, just because of taxes and just because of travel.
Sure.
You know, I'm going to be in Dallas tomorrow, you know, and then, you know, and so, but for me, it's what is the cost of doing that? Like, I've never been, you know, I don't think any coach is really motivated by money, you know, and for me, that's never been a big motivating factor for me. And so when I look at all the things that the world has to offer, we have everything I could ever want right here in Shasta County. And I chose to be an agent in Redding. I don't represent a single person in the state of California, like not one. And, you know, and it's all been word of mouth. There's, you know, and so you can do great things in Redding. But anyway.
Yeah, you're right. And the thing is that I think that the your structure as a coach and all the different things you've done, it really, to me, it's a great qualification of, as you just said, basically you bring out the best in people. That's how you encourage them. You're going to get the best out of your team when you bring the best out of those people. You're not looking for their faults. You're looking at what their strengths are. And I think that's a great point. If we all look at each other's strengths, work with the strengths, encourage the strengths, then we really have a team. The other question I wanted to ask you is that, you know, you had mentioned when you, about Redding and you had talked about Shasta County. It is beautiful. And the point you made is so, is well taken in the fact that you're talking about moving somewhere else. We look at what we have here. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Everything we have is here. The problem we have is the government, whether it be state or in this case, Shasta County and many of the other counties, where there's things that basically are not done in a constitutionally lawful manner. So,
correct.
What say you on that? What do you think as far as maybe a couple of things that that you see, basically as citizen cry, and then what you see as someone who could become our supervisor of District 1?
Yeah, I mean, one thing I've really noticed as citizen cry, what happened in L.A. or even the Bay Area, you know, it would take 15 to 20 years to get here, you know, whether it was, you know, some different kinds of technologies or maybe dealerships or, you know, whatever. There's just different things. And now what I'm seeing is that stuff's getting here within 6 months or maybe a year. And when the assault on our liberties the last couple years came, you know, I was astonished at how fast that got here and how fast our local leaders didn't say, whoa, 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 wait a minute, you know, and ask some of those hard questions. But almost just as alarming is that it's still going on.
Yeah.
I mean, the city of Redding and the Board of Supervisors both had virtual meetings 2 weeks ago. I mean, I know that this isn't, I mean, we're on, you know, the radio, so you can't see my face, but I'm just perplexed by that. And just the overreach and nobody, I shouldn't say nobody, there are a select few in city or county government that have said, whoa, 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 but that hasn't been the majority. And I think that's changing. I think that's changing because, you know, it's easy to be the guy that goes with the flow or the girl that's go with the flow, do what's easy, run under the, you know, hide under the you know, kind of just slink along and go under the radar. And then, you know, the tallest trees are the ones that get struck by lightning. But, you know, I think there needs to be that leadership in places that, because this is just the beginning. I mean, this is what I realized, what we've just dealt with the last 2 years, I think is just the first wave. Where's the second and the third and the fourth? And who do you want in that cockpit of the plane navigating our liberties and freedoms? Because if you didn't stand up for stuff 2 years ago when it was easy,
right?
I think it was easy. Because if, you know, and that's the one thing, that's one thing I'll say about Facebook. I'm grateful for it. I've never been a big Facebook person, but a couple years ago I said right out of the gate, I said, hey, if you're going to send kids home, you better get them moving and you better get some things happening. And I was adamant. And so, you know, I kept my place open to the very last second until I was, you know, basically was told I was going to get turned in. And then once I realized there was going to be no finance, like I wasn't going to get fined, I wasn't going to get cited, I opened right back up. But it took, you know, 6 to 8 weeks to get that.
So were you threatened by letter or by phone call?
I had a few people call.
Was it just general public or was it government officials?
No, it was general public.
Okay.
But the one thing for me, I had a call from Donnell York. See, the reason I know is I had a big event happening that weekend, March 20th. I've got all these blue T-shirts still with the date on it, you know. I got a call on Sunday, and I was told he gave me permission, which, again, I didn't know this then. I do know now. So he gave me permission to stay open for a very small group of autistic kids that we had worked with. So with a 12,000-square-foot building, I could have one trainer and one person 6 feet apart because the work we had done with this young man, he was a kid that came in with a headset, had to have almost all the lights off,
wow.
Didn't engage. And then by the time the shutdown happened, he was actually moving, talking, still wore, earmuffs or headphones to kind of suppress some noise. But now the kid is running, screaming, yelling, can even be – I mean, it's amazing. And I wasn't willing to shut it down for that. So – But then once I realized this is one kid out of all the kids we had, I'm like, this is not good.
Well, then how many more are out there like that?
Oh, man. Yeah. And when people start, a year ago and they say, the numbers of, CPS being called is lower. Yeah, because all the mandatory reporters aren't with the kids anymore. I mean, anyway, I know this. We're probably going in.
No, but that's part of it.
Yeah,
that's
I have quite a few things that I have as earmarked of programs that I really want to see go through for kids using Health and Human Services money and working with the superintendent of schools. So yeah, if kids can't choose their parents, It doesn't matter. It's just that's their lot until they're 18 and people, you can get emancipated. That happens one out of every 10,000 kids. So, if you can't look out for them, then I just don't, that's my cross to bear, I guess. I can't look away from what I saw the last 2 years.
Yeah, I think it's great. The thing is Health and Human Services should be spending money on the programs you're talking about.
Yeah.
Rather than just salaries. I mean, what is it?
Taking care of the most vulnerable among
exactly
us?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is when you look at the budget of Health and Human Services, about somewhere in the neighborhood of almost 40%.
Yeah.
Is salaries.
Yeah.
And they all just got raises.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Absolutely. And the other thing too, it's like, I care about the seniors. I mean, my aunt, I still had not seen since pre-COVID. She's in a residential care facility.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take her, Burrito Bandito today for Super Bowl Sunday and I'll give it to the person at the front door. Then I'll walk around the building.
Oh man.
I'll walk around the building and I'll knock on her window and I'll wave to her. Same thing I do because I can't,
go in.
Because you can't go in. And, I very much care about seniors and care about other vulnerable other than kids.
Mm-hmm.
But kids don't get to say, hey, mm-hmm. this is what I choose. All those choices are made for them.
Right.
And for me, when we talk about the bloated salaries and things like that, I'll be the first to say, I'm a capitalist. I own my own business. I'm all for people making a great wage if they are executing a well thought out intentional plan that is garnering results.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to be able to look at what people are responsible for and what they're doing. Cascade Union School District just did an amazing presentation last week at their board meeting about the effectiveness of play and activity and kids' learning and test scores and how all those correlations made. So one of the things I have, and maybe I don't know if this is the time to talk about it or not, but I really want to homeschools and charter schools have money earmarked for activity-based programs for kids. So kids can go to karate lessons, or they can do jujitsu, or they can go to the rock club, or they can do ninja classes, or they can do dance or gymnastics. There's all these opportunities. Well, I'm working on something that would be about 3.5% maybe of the Health and Human Services budget, and then getting that money to kids for 9 months. So every single month, for 9 months, every kid in kindergarten through 12th grade has a voucher that they can go get karate lessons, dance lessons, gymnastics lessons, because a lot of kids can't afford that. I mean, if you're a single parent you know, home, or maybe a two-parent home, and you've got a few kids. You can't afford dance lessons and things like that. And I think that there's, and I'm positive there's a way to make sure that kids are getting introduced to things at a younger age. Because what I'm tired of seeing is the haves and the have-nots.
Yep.
The people that could afford everything, and they have, you know, like when people say, you know, well, yeah, when COVID happened, you know, we went out to eat three times a day to support the community and stuff. Well, that's great, but that's not the majority of people in Shasta County. They weren't doing that, you know, and there was a lot of fear there. And I, and you know, and we supported local businesses and stuff like that as well. But I think you could really look at how we spend our money. And what does the average citizen in Shasta County need? And I think if kids are more active and in a more structured environment and we invest at those younger ages then, I think we're going to see dividends over the years. And it's not going to be something where you're going to see it in a year or two.
Right.
But like I said,
it's a long-term investment.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a you know, the Cascade School District. I mean, they're one of the I believe they're the only district in Shasta County that has full-time PE teachers at every site. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, PE a lot at the younger ages falls on, you know, the teacher. So the kindergarten teacher takes the kids outside for PE. Well, that's not their, you know, that's not their thing usually, obviously. Mm-hmm. But structured intentional anyway, I'm sorry.
No.
That's good. No.
Yeah, it's your brother. It's your party.
No, okay. Yeah.
Come on. It's your party. I mean.
Well, I just. I just think that you know there's so much money and thrown around. Let's try this. Let's try that. You know. And I just think it's ridiculous because we know what serotonin and oxytocin does to the young brain. I mean, there's a reason why kids can pick up a second, a third, and a fourth language, you know, before the age of 8.
Yeah.
Because their brains are so much more ready to take on that information and process that. Well, we also know exercise and physical activity structured is the best thing for them. Mm-hmm. And so when I saw the budget of Health and Human Services, and then I saw that there was, you know, like a nutrition program with, you know, it's unfair for me to throw barbs at programs when I've only been able to see from the outside and I haven't got to sit and talk to people.
Well, you know, I mean, the thing is that it sounds to me like you're inquisitive enough to want to know those things, but I want to touch on something you said that I thought was great. And that is that, you know, when you talk about these different programs, the dance, all the different things for these kids, that builds confidence. It builds self-worth, self-image. And I think what we've lost in the youth in the United States is I think they've lost their dream. You know, it's kind of like when you were a kid and I was a kid, you had a dream that you wanted to do something. You believed that you could do a lot of different things. And now it's sort of like, well, you know, how you get by.
Yep.
Or, you know, and I think those kinds of programs instill in a lot of kids who may not have the opportunity to build that dream and to understand that that America is a great country and you can do what you put your mind to.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, yeah, I fully agree with that. Yep. What I'm going to do is like we have fundraisers, right? Everyone does, you know, different types of things, auctions, which I think are great. I mean, my fundraisers, two of my three, one's at Chuck E. Cheese and one's at Viking Skate Country because I want parents to bring their kids and I want kids to understand government, and I want those conversations happening at dinner tables a lot sooner.
Well, that's good because they're not getting the government understanding in school.
Yeah.
I mean, that's clear. I mean, obviously, the civics isn't taught.
Yeah.
Not the way we know it needs to be.
Anyway, Kevin, we're going to go to our break here, but before we do, I want to mention to everybody, if you have a question or a comment, for Kevin Cry, you can call 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. And we are going to go into our second half hour here and talk about Kevin Cry and what he hopes to accomplish and what he hopes to do as the supervisor for District 1. So time has come, my friend.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Yeah. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today, or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage is having a grand opening Saturday, February 26th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at their new location in the Shasta Gateway Center at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson. They will be featuring new and existing vendors, along with a variety of collectibles from around the world, with jewelry, Tiffany lamps, antique desks and dressers, and much more. Free drawings throughout the day. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage grand opening Saturday, February 26th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at their new location in the Shasta Gateway Center, 1773 Highway 273, Anderson.
Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? Did he go and leave you all alone? I got a bad desire. Oh, I'm on fire. Tell me now, baby, is it good to you? And can he do to you the things that I do? Oh, no. I can take you high.
Yeehaw. Was that from Sally Lou?
Yes, it was. Bruce Springsteen, I'm on fire.
Well, I gave her some candy this morning, and she's on fire.
Valentine's candy?
Yes, yes, Ashley. Actually, her favorite kinds of candy. I give her, the week before Valentine's Day, I give her something every day.
That's really sweet.
Oh, great. Now you're setting the tone for the rest of us.
So the rest of you have to do something.
You need to stop that.
Anywhere. Here we are, KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. The music does sound better on 96.5 FM when it's working.
Yes, when it's
which
working.
Which it is.
Sometimes it fades in, it fades out.
And we have Kevin Cry here, who is running for supervisor for District 1. And it looks like the phones are going off over here. But before we get to the phones, Kevin, I do want to ask you, first of all, what is the number one thing that you would like to accomplish and see as the supervisor for District 1?
I want to know where the money's spent. I want to know how $600 million in Shasta County is spent, down to the penny, to make my life, your life, our kids' life, my neighbor's life, even people I can't stand, jokingly, right?
Yeah.
Their lives.
Sure.
I want to know how that money's spent.
Well, do you know what the current board members and even the former one that just got ousted, they don't even know because they didn't do a line item by line item budget review.
They passed it in a few seconds.
That's right.
And for me, I was like, I'm more and more surprised by, and I shouldn't be. I should just be like eyes wide open. Nothing surprises me anymore. Mm-hmm. But, you know, raises giving out in a recession. You know, more people, worse programs.
Yep.
You know, it's bloated. So that's the first thing I want to, if
forensic audit.
Forensic audit, and mm-hmm. And that's going to take time. But I think just going in right off. I mean, here's the thing. I met with Matt Pontus about a month ago. We do not. Shasta County does not have a strategic plan. Does not. I mean, it's a. I mean, he was brought here in 2019 to do one, and he said in the 20 years he's been in these types of roles in Santa Barbara, wherever he's been, there's always been a strategic plan. He came in to set that. Well, that means now we still don't have one. So if you don't have one going into a
sure.
A plandemic or pandemic, excuse me, mm-hmm. then you don't. Then I mean, we're in way worse shape.
Yep.
Not having one coming out.
Three years later. Yeah.
And so for me, you know, and that falls at the feet of the Board of Supervisors too. Like, why is there not one in place, and why are we not getting? As a business, like, you know, Shasta County's, but it's a business. It's
yes.
And it's not necessarily meant to make money. It's meant to serve the people, and it's meant right. to make our way of life safer, cleaner, better, more efficient.
Yep. Right.
And it's just, and people will say, oh, well, the money's earmarked. You got to spend it for that. Well, that's fine. If it's got to be spent for that, then it needs to be, the program needs to be excellent. So until we know where that money's spent and why it's spent that way and who's accountable for outcomes, mm-hmm. you know, we're just, you know, just shooting at a blind target.
We have a caller on the line. Dick, what say you?
Morning, Derek. Say, this Kevin that you're talking to, was he at the fundraiser last night?
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was.
Okay. Is he the coach named Kevin come over and talk to us last night? He coached our granddaughter, Jessica, at basketball at Anderson. Is that the same guy?
Yes, sir. Yep.
We're Jessica's grandparents, and you came home and spoke to us yesterday at our table?
Yeah, Jessica Lang.
Yeah, that's right. My daughter Linda, she's going to come to our house, and her husband this afternoon watch the Super Bowl game. We have dinner over here.
That's
anyway,
great.
I just want to say thanks for dropping by. It was great talking with you.
And thank you for your Christmas lights every year.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you, brother.
Bye, Dick.
Yeah, it's you know, talk about Matt Pontes. You know, there is key card gate. The key cards were disabled, they were disabled.
Rut-row.
Yeah, rut-row for the supervisors. Now, the law on that is that no one can disable a key card for someone who is an elected official. In other words, you know, if and maybe when you become district supervisor for District 1, no one can disable your key card in getting in that building. Okay, no one has the jurisdiction to do that. The only one who would have the jurisdiction to do that would be maybe the supervisor themselves. But we know it was disabled now.
So wait, but it was done for select supervisors.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, two of them. District 5 and District 4 supervisors.
Oh, so Les Baugh and
Patrick
Jones. Okay, yeah. So now Matt Pontes had made the comment that he didn't actually do it, but of course an IT guy would have to do it.
Somebody, it'd probably be a technician, actually. Yeah. Yeah, in IT that would actually do the keystrokes, but they're doing it at the discretion and the order of whomever for the department, and that department head was getting it from somebody else. It doesn't just happen.
So I guess the question is that when you have somebody who's a staffer who breaks the law, is that something we just let go, or is that something that we say, okay, well, you just can't do that job anymore?
Yeah, well, I think one of the interesting things about that particular circumstance is I just hope the community gets the truth.
Yeah.
Gets the truth. I mean, if something illegal was done, then, you know, accountability needs to fall on that choice by that individual, whether it was Matt or whoever it was.
Well, the point is they have to know who it is.
Well, yeah.
And you're right all about that because, I mean, how come that hasn't come out yet?
Now, yeah, I just want transparency, Terry.
I want legality, too.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, yeah, legality, but first to know what happened and then say, was it legal, illegal? And then it's like, no. You know, I didn't, you know, for me, it's like when my kids do something, And they're disciplined or punished. It's like I take no joy in that, but actions have consequences.
Absolutely.
And it's accountability. And it's like I didn't choose to do that. Like we told you one more cookie, you took two. So now
right.
you know, hey, you know,
no more cookies.
Actually, they stole the whole cookie jar.
Yeah, I mean, so you know, and I want to get to the point where our county is just so open. And
sure.
so revealing with this stuff.
You
right.
bet.
I bet.
So, Dolores, how are you, and what say you?
Good morning. I like what I'm hearing about transparency. I have two questions. Mr. Kevin, you said that you have three businesses that you own. Are they 501c3? And do you receive money from McConnell Foundation and Turtle Bay? Because I understand you're very good friends with Mike Warren.
Okay, those are great questions, and thanks for calling. So they're definitely not 501c3s. Absolutely not. They're Inks. So Ninja Coalition Inc., Ninja Coalition HQ Inc., and Valor Talent Group Inc. And I have a long, long history. I coached Mike Warren's kids years ago. I haven't received a penny from Turtle Bay or the McConnells for my campaign. And I haven't done a project if we want to go really back, like John Mancasola, who I believe is the head, I trained his sons. Mm-hmm. And Shannon Phillips, mm-hmm. I trained her son. So I have a lot of connections to Turtle Bay and McConnell Foundation, but zero politically and zero contribution to my campaign.
So it's just through your business that their children happen to come through your business.
And it was Upper Hand Athletics. It was my strength and conditioning company from years ago.
Okay.
So, well, it's a for-profit company.
It's a for-profit company.
Yeah, so it can't be a 501c3.
I mean, you know, right. Absolutely. But I appreciate that. And that's the one thing, too, is, you know, what kills me is the keyboard warriors and the people that want to throw out accusations, insults, but you watch. I'll have all these meet and greets, and I'm a really, really easy guy to get a hold of. I mean, 530-524-0005. There's my cell phone. Give me a call. Send me a text, and let's talk. I'm not going to respond to Facebook messages. I'm not going to respond on an open page and have this back and forth. I don't have time for that. I have too many things
Amen
to
do. Amen
to
that.
I have too many things to do, and it's not that it's beneath me, but I would rather sit and have an articulate 30-minute conversation for coffee than sit and type things out.
Right.
And it's the people that because I'd heard that a couple weeks ago that somebody said, hey, so and so said that you've been getting money from McConnell's and Turtle Bay, so. And I have no idea where that even comes from.
Dolores, you have one more question. What is it, hon?
Oh, that was it. Actually, my concern that is that he, I know that he's Mike Warren's friend. I met him years ago. He probably doesn't remember me, but I met you, Kevin, years ago in my when Mike Nevis' office, mortgage guy. So I met you a long time ago. So that's how I know who you are.
Okay,
Dolores, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We have another caller on the line.
We have Mark Kent on the line.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Hey, Mark, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How's it going, guys? I had a quick question on that whole lockout thing with the Board of Supervisors locking out the two particular supervisors, Jones and Baugh. My question is why? I mean, why would anybody lock them out just to keep them out of the boardroom for vindictive sake? Or is there something else here that we need to look at? Because there has to be a reason why somebody would do that.
Well, we know that something illegal happened. I mean, you can't get around that. Something illegal happened. Mike Pontes doesn't have the jurisdiction to shut down a key card unless it's a county employee. Then he does. But not for an elected official, no matter who that elected official is. So,
I think the question is, and then I'll just get off here real quick,
okay.
Is that we need to dig in there a little farther and find out why they would do that. There's got to be more to it than just, hey, I'm just doing it for spite.
Right. There's always something, there are layers to this. It's like a giant onion. Once again, got to peel it back and figure it out.
All right. Well, that's all I got. I'll talk to you guys in a bit.
All right. Thanks,
Sounds
Mark.
Good. Also, something else that I wanted to ask you, Kevin, and that is, and I did want to explain something, too. It's a lot of times I know I have a lot of friends that are coaches. I mean, I know that Todd Franklin has coached a lot of people who maybe we don't care for and coach their kids. I mean, you don't know that's a coach or anything. How do you know that, point being is I think that I think we have to be looking at is in this county – the first thing is the idea of discretionary spending and also the mandatory spending. Now, when we get money back from the state, because you were talking about this before, about how we only get a certain amount of money from the state that we can spend, 87% of the money that we get is mandated by the state on how we spend it. And only 13%, which covers fire and police and all that stuff, is spent for discretionary spending, which is there something to where, I mean, in a lot of cases, do we even want to take some of that money? And I'm going down the road of the $34 million with strings attached. How do you feel about those kinds of things?
In terms of the CARES Act or any money that we're getting from the state, you know, and one thing I've learned is a lot of the money we get from the state has strings attached. But the difference is those strings attached may be like, hey, you've got to use this to better the sewer system, or you've got to use this for county access roads. It's not, hey, you got to use this and we're going to have something. We're going to let you know in 6 to 12 months what that is. Like,
right.
That's not strings. That's like blackmail. That's like extortion kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, honestly, if it's whatever money we get, or any decision, you know, I'm going to run a lot of this stuff through the filter of, you know, is this something I want my kids going through? Mm-hmm. And if it's something that's bad for kids, you know, or let's just say not even bad. Let's say if it's not a break even and it's a little bit bad, that uncompromised. Nope, it's not good for kids. Well, it's a lot of money. Doesn't matter. It's not good for kids because kids are someday going to be the adults.
Yeah.
And those adults are going to be making decisions for us when we're in our 80s and 90s and in a home ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I refuse to take any kind of money that's going to have any kind of string attack that's going to have a negative impact on our youth and our kids. And then if you can take another step farther to say, if it's going to make it harder to raise our kids, or it's going to make it harder to provide for our kids, or it's going to make it, you know, it's going to take away civil liberties that give us choices of how we're going to raise our kids. Like, you know, I'm just going to keep going down that road with any money we get.
Sure. We do have a caller on the line. Brenda, what say you?
Hi, good morning. How are you doing?
Good.
So the problem I have with Health and Human Services is, you know, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. And when it comes down to mental health and stuff like that, I wanted more information about what was being contracted outside of our county, and they wanted $250 for me to have that information.
Who is Brenda?
Health and Human Services. So when they called and said, hey, I want to know what hospitals were contracted with, what programs, how many beds are we guaranteed for those people, and then they came back and said, well, we now charge for that. It's 10 hours worth of work, and it's $250 because now I have to pay the person that does that their wage, which was like $25 an hour. Well, I can't afford that. You know, I'm adopting two kids and adopting one more because my daughter's mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is they dump all this money into these programs. You have the Hill Country Crisis Mobile Unit, which I think is the biggest waste of money I've ever seen. And these programs are for specific ages, so you have a huge age gap in these services that people can attain. Single men, single women. If you don't have children and you don't have mental health issues,
sure. You
don't qualify for a lot of these programs. So here you are left with this big group of people.
Okay, Brenda, do you have a question? Because we have other people on the line, too.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, how are you going to bring all that together? Because, you know, if you don't understand how it's working and you're not going to the people that are actually experiencing it, how are you going to know how to fix it? Because they never come to us and ask us what's broken.
Thank you, Brenda.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Is she asking how are we going to fix the transparency of where those beds and monies are coming from, or is she asking about the people themselves?
Well, I think she's asking about both. I think the thing is that the transparency, according to the California Constitution, they have to give you that information. That's why I wanted to know who was saying that she didn't, she wasn't able to get it.
Right. Yeah.
Because under the California Constitution, that you have to get that. Now, they can charge for it, but because it's something that's in our Constitution in the state, excuse me, they can charge for it. But if you say you don't have any money, you still are able to get it constitutionally. So that's why I'm trying to figure out how they can possibly even hold that information back from her.
Yeah.
Or maybe she just didn't know to say that. But
I don't know. There probably needs to be a little more clarification. The one thing I can say, though, about learning about – I mean, all I can do is this. Like, at 45 years of age, I've never been homeless. I've had people in my family that have struggled with substance abuse. But I would say, by and large, they've never been homeless. But what I am doing is I'm going, like I met with Jonathan Anderson from the Good News Rescue Mission. I met with Mike Mahara. I'm meeting with a lot of different people that deal, and I'm trying to understand as much as I can. Like when I was walking District 1, I walked through a few homeless encampments. Like I'm asking those questions so I can be as educated as possible. So in January of next year, if elected, taking that spot, I'll have the information to be able to make decisions based on the knowledge, because like right now I'm you know 3 months into the homelessness and there's an opioid crisis and I have a lot of ideas on that, but as far as homelessness and mental health, there's a lot of work to do for sure.
We have another caller on the line. Jimmy, what say you, sir?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good.
I'd like to ask your guest, would he be in support of doing a forensic audit of the Board of Supervisors' management of the funds that have come into Shasta County, particularly the what I believe was $18 million that was given to Shasta County for COVID business relief, from what I heard, that was completely mismanaged.
Yeah, well, 100%. Like a forensic audit is auditing everything.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
you don't invite somebody into your house and say, hey, you know, mi casa, su casa, and then say, but you can't go in the garage, or you know, this place you're not allowed. I mean, no, yeah, we have to absolutely turn that inside and out. And the $18 million that was supposed to go for business, I mean, everybody wants to celebrate that the small business has got, you know, $4 million in Shasta County, and it was overseen by, you know, the Reading Chamber of Commerce, and how that was distributed. But yeah,
But where'd the other 14 go?
I know. It went to probably about 37 new positions that we're going to have huge pensions and will bankrupt our county if we don't fix this kind of stuff.
Exactly.
And this crazy spending.
That's why
I like limited government. And just because you have more money doesn't mean you spend. I mean, I'm a big person that says, you know, you don't spend time, you invest time. You don't spend money, you invest money. So, you know, with what we're doing with that $18 million and all the other money that's still coming, I think we're going to get a whole new look now that the tide is starting to turn.
Right.
Okay, great. That's what I wanted to hear. I think everybody that sits on that board should be in favor of doing a forensic audit of the shenanigans that have been going on with our monetary funds. So thank you and have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy. We have another call on the line. Gary, what say you?
Hey, Terry, this is Gary Oxley. How are you this morning?
Hey, Gary, how are you?
Good. Good morning, Kevin.
Hello, sir.
I am the current chairman for the local chapter of the California Rifle and Pistol Association here in Shasta County. And I'd like to know what your thoughts are on the Second Amendment. There's two aspects to the Second Amendment. One is the militia aspect, and then the other aspect is the right to bear arms. And so that would be the first question. And the second question is, has our organization put forth a resolution for the board to consider a Second Amendment resolution? And I'd like to know whether that would be something that you would at least consider putting it on the agenda as a vote.
Oh, well, yeah, I think I'm very pro Second Amendment. You know, it's a little odd in Shasta County because, you know, I have a current CCW. Got my first with Sheriff Pasenko, and then it was renewed during COVID with Magrini. But, you know, in Shasta County, we really shouldn't have to have a CCW. We should be able to even open carry because we're less than 200,000 citizens, as I believe that's actually how that reads.
Well, the sheriff can issue a 26-150-B2 open carry permit. But again, it's still a permit.
Yeah.
And it's good in Shasta County. But he can issue that, yes.
Yeah, so for me, I mean, if your question is if I'm pro Second Amendment, I'm very pro Second Amendment. And then your other question, what was the second part?
So the other
would I put a resolution forward?
Yes.
Yeah.
Would you at least consider the one that our organization put forth to the board, which voted never to consider it as on the agenda?
Yeah, I mean, I think of course. That's what the Board of Supervisors is for, is to put those in, you know, and then to vote on them. I mean, having the resolution out there and then having the open discussion about it, of course. I mean, I don't know why we wouldn't do that.
Right. Well, thank you. Just one other aspect on the Second Amendment. And I know there are...
There's another caller on the line, brother. So go ahead and do it quick. Go ahead.
Just, what's your opinion on the militia aspect of the Second Amendment?
Well, if it's a well-regulated militia, as it states, then that's 100% protected by our Constitution. So,
okay.
I think the word militia is thrown out there so much that people are hearing that as if it's a some kind of backwoods government overthrow, crazy stuff. I mean, I'm glad we have citizens that are here to protect us and protect our liberties. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with a well-regulated militia. And honestly, I think it's great that our area, those people actually stand up and are counted, where you know who they are, and you just like, hey, these are the people. They're not hiding in the shadows. They're not wearing face masks, burning cars in cities. Because that's a militia, right?
Kevin,
yes.
That's right. Kevin, thank you very much for your time. I won't take any more. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. One quick thing before we get to Ron, and that is that the current sheriff, Mike Johnson, said basically, I asked him about that open carry permit, and his comment was, well, I believe in the right of the Second Amendment. However, I will not allow an exposed weapon. Well, how can you believe in a right and then say as a person, as an elected official, you won't allow something that's a right? So that's where we stand in Shasta County, and that's where our sheriff stands, which is, to me, is very disappointing. Ron, do you have a question for Kevin?
Good morning. I have a comment. I'm not going to ask you what you think. I'm going to tell you what I think.
Okay, we only have about 2 minutes, buddy.
Okay, I'll make it quick.
Okay.
What I want in Shasta County, I want a constitutional county, and I want a constitutional sheriff. I recently had a problem, and I'm not going to discuss it on the air. It was, anyway. So this is what I want. I want the sheriff to be a total constitutional, and I want total constitutional. I want them to explain the words, it shall not be infringed. I want them to explain the words, we have the right to keep and bear arms, and just there's some things that went on.
Thank you, Ron.
Oh.
What, did we lose him?
Yeah. We lost him. Are you still there, Ron?
I'm still here, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway, so first of all, I'd like to thank you for your service, buddy. And
your family.
And anyway, yeah, so, and that's a good comment. I'm sure we're going to want to have that. Okay, so with that, Ron, have a great day. And we have about 3 minutes left here. Kevin, maybe you can tell people how to get a hold of you, what your website is, what
Absolutely.
Your page is, and all that good
yeah.
stuff. Shoot away.
So my website is votekevincry.com, V-O-T-E, Kevin, K-E-V-I-N, last name Cry, C-R-Y-E.com. Then you can find me on Facebook as well. Go to Vote Kevin Cry. Again, I will encourage you. You can leave comments if you'd like. I do not respond to Facebook comments. But you can send me a phone call. Again, here is my personal cell. You are probably not going to get many candidates giving their personal cell out, 530-524-0005. I want your phone calls. I want your texts. I want to talk about the issues, and I want to be transparent about it. I have fundraisers coming up. Those will be posted on social media as well as my website, March 15th at Chuck E. Cheese. Bring your kids, pizza, tokens. Let's talk about the issue, and let's get everybody excited about taking our county back. As well as on April 2nd, I'm doing Javier Colon, Season 1 winner of The Voice, a client of mine and a good friend. He's going to come and do a concert.
Wow.
And then on April 3rd, we're going to roll that concert into Viking Skate Country.
Oh,
we're
nice.
Going to do a big fundraiser at Viking Skate Country. And I've got a couple rallies, too. I'm working on a couple Olympians, multiple-time gold medalists coming. And we're just going to energize people about understanding what I stand for. And if what I stand for isn't what aligns with your views, then vote for someone else. But if you want someone who's going to be open, transparent, loves kids, loves this county, and wants to do the right thing at whatever cost that would be, then I'm definitely your guy.
Well, I hear the music. We've had Kevin Cry running for the supervisor, District 1. Thank you, Kevin. And time has come.
Thank
for
you,
51.
Guys.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Jefferson, state of mind. You don't know us, you have no clue, and still you're telling us what to do. We don't know you or what you face. It's time to start a brand new.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.